Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, coming your way this morning. We're having a great time. It's the Freelance Show. It's just Corey and myself hanging out with you this morning, talking fishing, talking tackle, tactics, whatever it want to be, calico bass to tuna and everything in between. We're having a great time this morning, and sounds like we are back up and running with the phone, so we're going to be enjoying some great phone calls this weekend. Still keep sending those texts. We've got a ton of great texts to talk through, and like I said, we're going to be giving away that trip on the San Diego, whether it be to a caller or to a texter today at the end of the show. So if you are texting the show, make sure to include your phone number there in the text so we can reach you back and get you in the line for that killer trip on the San Diego out of C4 Sport Fishing. Having a great time this morning and just talking fishing and having fun, Corey.
I know it, Rick. And the way to get a hold of us via the phone is a number at 213-432-1090. And the texting is only done via the app. So
that's
super simple right there. Like Rick said, leave your not only your name and number, but on the texting, leave your telephone number if you want your chance.
You got it.
Yeah.
It is time for the Catch Report. We're going to have a great one this morning, brought to you by FishDope.com. Hey, it's the hot ticket for local tuna has been that Gamakatsu Nautilus circle hook in the size 2 and 4. It's perfect for finicky yellowfin and bluefin. They have hooks from that Nautilus Light. The extremely light wire allows your bait to swim. The regular Nautilus, which is my favorite, and that brand new Nautilus HD. Having the ability to choose the right size circle hook is key, and with Gamakatsu Nautilus, you have that choice and the confidence that you're fishing the finest hooks ever made. Stock up on those Gamakatsu Nautilus hooks at your favorite tackle store. Let's go to the phones, talk to the man, our private boater buddy, the FishDope.com reporter, Captain Mark Wish is on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Ricky, Corey, and Pete, if you're listening. Take care out there, buddy. But, well, guys, so the first part of our fall season, you know, it was a little off-center from normal with that coolest, breeziest October I can ever remember, but definitely we got conditions straightening out here for November, and for now we got biting fish and stellar weather, man. It's just flat calm right now. If you got any inclination for an offshore road trip, now's the time to plan it. So on the way outside there, and Nicholas, Santa Barbara Island finally got looked at. You know, it's been blown out for quite some time there. No exotics, but lots and lots of cods and ling cods out there biting. Some guys took some live squid out that way and just destroyed them. At Catalina, the best news there is that squid situation, not full speed, but definitely more all the time. Backside East has been probably the best shot there, but there are a few dabs here and there around elsewhere. Not much on the yellows or sea bass from Catalina, but definitely some signal on the nice size bonita on the front side east, you know, that Frog Rock, Toyon area. They're fun to catch, they're good to eat, and they're fantastic lobster bait. So there's lots of opportunity with that bonita. Yeah, San Clemente Island, finally some better signal from that one, too. A few dabs of squid here and there, but the Pyramid Cove sector's got the most, I think. And the nice thing about that squid in the cove, first of all, it's flat calm. And second of all, there's some nice great yellows hanging out there. There's been some decent catches this week with the live squid, so that's really good news. And then offshore, holy cow, you know, it got kind of tough there for a little bit, with the exception of that stuff that was out there on the outside banks, but that looks like it's kind of winding down. And we've got an interesting rebite developing on the inside. You know, we got the kelp patty yellows scattered all over. And then what's really good news is the amount of tuna fish that's decided to pop back up here, both yellowfin, a little sprinkle of yellowfin, and a little more of that better grade bluefin. You know, some of that bluefin's been right in there in the mouth of the Coronado Canyon in there close, and then out towards the 302 and scattered out across the knoll and all the way out to the east wing of the butterfly, where there's multiple boats out there looking this morning, and even a little sprinkle up above the border up there by the corner too. So a little little very encouraging sign on that bluefin. Some of that's that big fish, too, so take your heavy tackle. And then for a grand finale here, kind of in that same sector, but scattered mostly around the upper end of the non, all the way outside the bank there, has been that deep drop swordfish fishery. It's been going for a couple weeks now. It's been, I wouldn't say wide open by any means as far as sword fishing goes, but definitely that's the best area around, it seems like. And the guys in a tournament yesterday, you know, I think it's the first ever tournament with about 30 boats, and I think there was a total of five fish, a couple smaller ones released, I think three weighed in, which is not so bad. And everybody's got the area located. I'm sure there'll be quite a bit more pressure on it today, along with everybody else looking at kelp patty yellows and chasing tuna and deep dropping for swordfish. That'll be an interesting area down there, guys. So watch out for all those buoys for the swordfish, guys. But man, for mid-November, when we thought it was done, it ain't done. Time to go fishing.
Well, yeah. Well said, and a great report, Mark. And I love that. I love that the swordfish fishery has progressed to a point where, you know, call it 6 years ago, 5 years ago, if you would have said there was a swordfish tournament and there were five fish caught, I don't think anybody would look at you like you were a crazy guy. So pretty cool that we can consider that, you know, decent swordfish fishing.
You know, and what makes it all the more special is I have not followed the rules for that tournament real closely, but it's an IGFA deal. So they got a whole lot of restrictions to follow to qualify compared to what we normally do deep dropping for that fish there. So anything caught in that tournament is a more than worthy catch for sure.
Well said.
So it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of there today. And then I heard you guys talking earlier about chum buckets. So in the depth of winter, when if it ever rains again, which maybe it won't, who knows, but we ever get a stormy patch and then also talk about, we'll do a segment on chum buckets because there's
right,
an awful lot.
I like it. Yeah,
let's
mark that one down. That sounds great, Mark.
Yeah.
Well, great job as always. And if somebody wants to find you for the best bait tanks in the world and all the other great info going on Pacific Edge, how do we find you?
Well, Ricky, we're in Huntington Beach. We're in a corner. Corey, you can say it for us.
I know, at the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edger, right adjacent to the Chevron station right there. And one thing I do have to say is, why the heck do we need a chum bucket when we have the best bait tanks in the world?
Right. Well, there's that too. But when you use them, now I don't want to get ahead of myself here. But when you use them in conjunction,
yes,
and you know, some of it's inshore and then some of it's offshore. It's a worthy endeavor.
Offshore too.
We'll do that. I'll make a note of that.
I like it.
Yeah, I got my mind spinning now. I love it. Good
yeah,
stuff, Mark.
Go.
Well,
we'll talk to you guys next week.
Appreciate it very much, buddy. We look forward to talking next week. Well, while we're waiting for Marcos to get lined up, Corey, we had another great text come through. This one was says, last week the low tide was over 3 feet in the back part of the bay. As soon as the tide started to go to high, the fish were biting on every cast. It was mostly spotties. Does this very high to low tide usually mean a strong bite? That's from Harry from Chula Vista.
Yeah, interesting. You know, the back bay is beautiful. Here's the thing. An extreme tide at the mouth of the harbor is too much current. Like, there can be too much current and there can be not enough current. But in the middle, there's a happy medium. And that happy medium sometimes can be found in the back of the bay. On the same tide,
okay,
where at the mouth of the bay, it's too much current. So You could find your way south of the bridge if there's like, just say, 6 feet of movement.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much when you're fishing off Shelter Island. But it could be a perfect tide for him where he's fishing back in Chula Vista. Because you're so far back in the bay, it minimizes movement.
Totally.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you know, is look at the shape of the bay and where like water is getting funneled through. You
yes.
know, you could be in a you could have totally different conditions in a very close spot. You know, we fished all the years fishing that San Diego Anglers sand bass tournament, we always spent a huge portion of our time from the launch ramp forward, you know, from
yes.
the launch ramp toward the mouth. And on the exact same tide at the exact same time, the difference from fishing, say, right off the Shelter Island pier to, like, the, you know, outside of Ballast Point. You know, Ballast Point's one of the skinniest parts of the whole
bay. It's a bottleneck.
And all that's the perfect word for it. Yeah, all the water is just getting funneled right into there, and it's squirting through that bottleneck, and that... That you can be moving water way too fast and too difficult to keep contact with the bottom, or your drift too quick. And, you know, Shelter Island Pier is, you know, a few, you know, it's, I mean, it's a quarter mile away.
Yeah, exactly.
In the same tide, fishing completely different. So you bring up a great point and well said that, you know, you can find any part of the bay that's going to be right for the tide you're given.
That'll
you
be bi-friendly.
You just have to know that.
And with all the with all this information, the most important part is that with no matter what it is, if it's offshore tuna, whether it's calico bass in the kelp, whether it's bay bass in Chula Vista, current is key.
Mm-hmm.
Current is the main ingredient to getting a bite.
Yeah.
Without the current, if you have slack current in the kelp, forget it. I mean, it's you're going to have to dredge up a bite. Where if you had the kelp laid down, a little bit of current, you'd have 100 fish.
And current is not a – it's a far less predictable thing than other things. And just because it's one way in one spot doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the same everywhere. Oftentimes, if you've got great condition, it is spread out all over the place. And oftentimes, if you've got horrific conditions, sometimes it's that way everywhere, too. But the kelp bed is such a dynamic thing that, you know, a few hundred yards up the line,
it can be completely different.
You can for sure have more or less current than another.
Or completely opposite.
Right.
That's the beauty of, yeah, I love it. I mean, and fishing the bay, honestly, it's one of the coolest things ever, you know?
And like you said, it's probably the most important condition for that inshore fishing. Yeah, no doubt.
Period. Yes.
And the best way to identify that, if somebody so I'm brand new to this and I'm just getting into it and I just got a skiff and I'm really into calico bass fishing, but I'm brand new to it and I'm hearing Corey say current is king, it's everything. How do you determine that?
Well,
when you're fishing, you know, just getting into it, getting into calico bass fishing, want to catch them on the weed list. Corey says, current's king, got to have it. How do we find it? How do I know I'm in the good
zone? Yeah, absolutely. I understand what you're saying. So two different variables, fishing calicos in the kelp is one thing, and then fishing the bay is a completely separate thing. And in the bay, you can determine this with the tides, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can look at a tide book, and you go, wow, there's 5 feet of movement right here. It's perfect. And my favorite is like a 3.5 to 5 feet of movement.
Okay.
That's kind of in the middle.
And when you say that, that's the amount of water exchange between high tide and low tide.
And
so low tide is 1 foot, high tide is 5 feet. In that exchange from high to low, there's 4 feet of movement.
Of movement. And the extremes of that would be obviously zero, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like no movement. Or the other extreme would be, I think, like 7.5 feet of exchange is like the maximum,
mm-hmm.
right? So you pick one in the middle there, and in the bay you can determine that with the tides. But in the kelp, it's all visual. And let's say I've been fishing for a week, and I've been, you know, 5 days in a row on this killer area with this current, but that doesn't mean it's going to be the same the sixth day in a row.
Yeah, sure.
It doesn't mean it's going to be the same 2 days in a row.
Or by lunchtime.
That's exactly it. And sometimes, if you don't have current, like the half-day boat, when Fred or Jason, when they anchor up to the kelp, they have to have current. Without current, they are dead in the water. Like, they need that to bring the chum into the kelp, to bring the fish out of the kelp. It's just a part of the process. But in your private boat, you can move around and you can find. And here's one of the key things that guys kind of overlook is even when you have 8 to 10 miles an hour of wind, that wind can create enough current, surface current,
really,
to put a little spark in the fire of the calico.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that it's not what the half-day boat would determine as, you know, key.
Yeah, it might not provide 50 bass for those guys.
But it will provide a bite for your private boat.
But if it provides 15 bass for you fishing, well, that's a fun afternoon.
It absolutely will. Yeah. So don't overlook, like, the wind helping you, too,
okay.
You know. Yeah, that's kind of a hidden little thing.
That's great.
Know? Yeah, I love it, man.
That's great info.
Good time. Should we try the phones?
Yeah, I think we do. Our phones are rolling, and we've got them going. So, again, if you want to get through, give us a call, 213-432-1090. Cross my fingers. Corey, let's jump into it.
Let's do it. We're going to do it, Rick. We're biting the bullet. Dennis from San Diego. Good morning.
Hi, Dennis.
Well, good morning, and I want to wish all my fellow vets there. I hope they had a great Veterans Day. I do have a question. For years, I wanted to go sand dabbing. I don't know what sports book here goes, or do I have to go all the way up to L.A. for it, or is there a place here I can just fish? I don't. And what should I bring? Because you use a multiple hook line. I don't understand the whole concept, but that's something I always wanted to do.
And that is, Dennis, I mean, that's something that they do up out of you know, the Northern Landings, Long Beach, Redondo. You know, they do those kind of trips because they do. They load up on 1,000 or, you know, or more, right? But we are so fortunate, Dennis, here in San Diego. Dude, we're catching 100 to 200-pound bluefin in the month of January, February, March, when they're fishing sand dabs, you know, or the San Diegos down, or the Liberty, or the Point Loma, they're down Mission Bell. They're fishing the Coronado Islands with 30, 40 yellows.
Mm-hmm.
So to try to get 30 anglers to go out and fish sand dabs would be, I think, a difficult venture from our landings here, just because there's too many other things to fish.
Yep.
If that's your gig, you may have to drive up. They are awfully tasty. They're very good.
Great eating, sure.
Yeah, given the fact I like rock fishing, if I couldn't do that in the month of January and February, which we cannot, you could probably twist my arm to get me to go do a little sand dabbing. I mean, they're good eating.
I always joke that I'm an excellent sand dabber because you oftentimes, if you're fishing small rockfish spots on your private boat, and you miss your spot.
You slide off,
but you're close to it. So I set up, okay, I think the wind and the current are doing this. I need to stop the boat right here, and that should put us right on our spot. And then when I inevitably miss it, which I do plenty, I'm excellent at missing my rockfish spots, and you drop down, you catch sand dabs.
Yeah.
It's a good indicator that you missed the spot. So I'm an excellent private boat sand dabber
because
I'm so good at setting up on and then misjudging my drift.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Dennis, if that's what you're into, you may have to drive up north to do that, you know. But I know a guy we have on hold. Marcos might be able to give us a little more insight on that, Dennis.
Marcos from C4 Sport Fishing is on the line. Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone doing?
We're doing great. Having a fun morning. Just Corey and I in the studio here, and we're having a good time. Phones are smooth now, so we're on cruise control, buddy.
Perfect. And unfortunately, I don't have any tips on sand dabs because, like I said, it's a little out of our wheelhouse here. But we have had some great fishing, and it's starting to look like what the beginning of the year looked like, those overnight boats, the one day is a day and a half longer. They're catching bluefin. They're not catching the numbers that we were seeing, you know, a month or two ago, but they're catching some big ones in there. You're seeing a lot of those fish in the 100 to 250-pound range, so nice mix of fishing on there. And, again, we're creeping up on, you know, Thanksgiving. And like we've talked about in the past, you may be able to have some Thanksgiving bluefin instead of turkey this year. So definitely keep an eye on those trips. Have your heavy gear ready if you are going out on one of those because, like I said, we're seeing fish, you know, in the 200-pound range fairly frequently on those. Mix of yellowtail, occasional yellowfin in the mix on those trips also, so lots of options there. The full-day trips to San Diego, I think some pretty good yellowtail fishing offshore there. Not huge fish, but definitely catchable, and they're catching a good amount there. But so warning, if you're planning on going to San Diego starting on Tuesday, they are scheduled to go back to the islands. And unless you see some really great fishing this weekend, just be prepared for that. And remember, fishing islands, you do need your passport. You need a current passport or passport card, and we'll be able to get the visa and all the other paperwork you need there. And then the half-day trips, so very good bottom fishing, reds, rockfish, whitefish, sheephead, some calico bass in the mix. So all-around great fishing. We've had some pretty warm weather over the last couple of days there, so if you definitely want to sneak down, get on the boat, and get out there catching fish, you have a few options. Check the website, seaforthlanding.com. Full schedule's up there for those half-days, the full days, the overnights and longer there. You can make reservations right online. You can always give us a call at the office, 619-224-3383. Or if you want to come down and visit, feel free to come down and visit. Say hi to the guys in Tackle Shop. Pick up some MC swim baits and go catch some sand dabs.
Right,
great
exactly.
Call, Marcos. I dig it. Well, a great report. Glad to hear that the boys on the San Diego will be sliding back into the islands. Nice to get a good check there. And certainly great to hear about that big fish going for the overnight and day and a half fleet out of Seaforth. Great report. Still rolling right along here, middle of November. Appreciate it. Great job, Marcos. And we'll talk to you next week.
We'll talk to you then, guys.
All right.
All right. It's brought to you by Anza Knives, handcrafting knives in USA for over 3 decades. Check out the Fish Pro Series and the custom bluefin and yellowfin from Anza Knives. They're made from a high-carbon steel, which holds a great edge and is easy to sharpen. Anza Knives are the finest fillet knives ever produced. Anza also offers knives for military, law enforcement, and hunting. Check AnzaKnives.com for more details, or check out the Fish Pro Series at Fishman's Processing.
Right on. Well, Corey, we had a great text came through that was kind of in relation to the last one, and it says, this was from Mike from Laguna Niguel. Says, I hear skippers referring to uphill or downhill current. What does this mean to fishing the coast? So explain uphill versus downhill.
Yeah, right. So an uphill current would be a southern, you know, coming from a southerly direction. And pushing uphill,
mm-hmm.
and a downhill current is opposite. So a northerly, you know, pushing from the north, pushing toward the south. And traditionally, all along our coast, from above Santa Barbara all the way to below, you know, central Baja, a southern current, a northern current pushing from the north, a downhill current of some direction, mm-hmm. is usually a golden current.
Okay.
Where a secondary golden current would be something pushing from the south. Like I said, any current is good, but the pushing from the south or pushing uphill is usually not as productive as a downhill. Downhills, when you get the yellows on the edge of the kelp and barracuda and the bonito pushing and the calicos are frolicking and
it's alive.
I've got it in my mind right now. You know, I want to be right there.
It's easy when you can look in the water and you can see the direction that the kelp stalks are pushing. You know, think about current is like wind under the water, and if it's blowing the kelp to the north, they'll call that uphill current, and if it's blowing it to the south, they'll call that downhill. That's like the easy visual behind it. But, yeah, current is just like wind that's under the water.
Yeah, there it is. All right. And like we said, current is king.
Yeah, man. That's
you
it.
Some kind of current. Should we try the lines again?
I think we're solid.
How about Rich? Rich calling from Bradley. Good morning and welcome. Let's talk hookup, Rich.
Good morning. And I had no idea that uphill and downhill current had nothing to do with a hill. I had rather there was a north and south. You know, I've been wondering the same thing my whole life. I'm calling about when you opened the show this morning, you talked about using the heavier line for halibut when you're fishing. It sounded like you're talking about shoreline fishing or maybe surf fishing. And I'm wondering if you could help me out with describing the action and the style and length of the type of rod and reel setup you would use. Would it be spinning rod or would it be a conventional? And kind of get me dialed in on that one, the inside baseball for running that fluke you were talking about.
Yeah, for sure, Rich. So there's two styles that I would personally fish for shoreline or shallow water halibut. Rich, almost everything I do, whether it's San Diego Bay, surf fishing, whatever, it's all going to be less than 15 feet, you know, less than 20, 15 feet or less for sure. And drop shotting is a method, and a lead-headed slug is a method. Along with a lead-headed slug would be like a lead-headed swim bait kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I tend to go away from the lead-headed swim bait in this situation because I want to cover area, and the lead-headed slug draws a reaction bite that you will not believe. Like, I have gone down the same sand channel with a swim bait, and you move a halibut. You see a halibut move like 2 feet, like, and then you get a short bite. And after 5 or 6 casts, that's it. You go through there with a lead-headed slug, and now you have opened a whole other door. That action, you want to go with the lightest lead head you can, 5-inch slug with a as small as a 1/4 ounce, as heavy as a 1/2 ounce,
okay.
Somewhere in there, the lightest you can get away with. And that action is so dumb. Like, I can't even describe it to you. It's so dumb. You throw it out, let it sink. You wind it in 2-3 feet, let it sink again. It sounds so simple. It's stupid. But in doing so, you are creating a darting action. That thing will redirect and go different directions. And with one little inch pop of the rod, you have moved it up 3-4 inches and down the other way 6
right.
inches. And that thing is all over the place. It cannot handle the erratic look of it, and it draws a bite that is violent. Like, they they want to smash it. Okay, so I'm using maybe a 7-foot rod, okay, medium action, 30 to 50 pound braid, Power Pro with, like I said, a pretty heavy leader, 25 up to 40 for that, minimal 25. The bites are going to be violent. They're going to inhale it. You want to have heavier line. Drop shotting is a completely different thing. Very light. I'm using 20-pound Power Pro. Very light.
Very light.
20-pound Power Pro straight to a super line 5-odd hook with a 5-inch style slug. I make a drop shot bait especially just for this. I made one. But you can use any type of a fluke or slug of 5-inch. The reason I go so light is it's all twitching. I'm using a light rod, 6.5, super lightweight, 20-pound braid. And then I'm using about a 24-inch leader to the sinker, a 1-ounce torpedo. You want to use
a heavy sinker.
It's heavy, but you're using the heavier because you don't want the sinker to move as you're twitching. The rod tip, I'm working the rod tip like you would a hard jerk bait. Twitch, 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 twitch. But the sinker's only moving a half inch at a time.
Yeah, it's anchored down.
It's anchoring, and that bait, is, if you can visualize it, you're working on slack line, and I'm slapping it, slap, slap, slap. That bait is working erratically back and forth, and then it goes to sink, and they smash it. They cannot, if they can't, if you're not going to draw reaction bites with a leadhead slug, you are for sure going to draw them with the drop shot. And so their activity level is going to dictate how I'm going to fish it.
That description was fantastic.
Yeah.
Is that only a halibut technique? Will you catch spotties and that kind of stuff?
You will.
You take that on the inshore, or is that a halibut surf, halibut type thing?
I've had days in the surf where I've caught, believe it or not, on that big 5-odd hook, I've caught surf perch.
Really?
At like a pound.
Yeah.
I've caught surf perch, small white sea bass. I've caught sand bass, a calico, and a halibut all in the same day.
That's rad.
Like, and a yellowfin croaker.
That's cool.
Like, when the yellowfin croaker are around, you know there's chovy, you know a bite's going to happen. But it is deadly for halibut. I'm fishing for the halibut.
That's got me fired up.
You can hear me.
Rich, does that answer your question for you?
Yeah, that's just pretty much golden with one little thing that I'm reading into it is that I need my rod to balance out with that 1-ounce sinker. So balance is pretty much key with any type of rigging. So I'm thinking that's when I pick up a rod, that I want it to feel right with a 1-ounce sinker for that drop shot method that you're talking about.
Yeah, kind of, Rich, for sure. I mean, I know the 1 ounce is an overkill, but you have to understand the purpose and why you're doing it. And there's two different halibut bites that come with that. You're going to have one that absolutely rips a rod tip from you, like, oh, my God, what just happened?
Yeah.
You know, and then you're on. And the second bite is you don't feel anything. You literally think you're hung up in the kelp and you barely move it, and the thing dots you 6 inches the other way.
Yeah.
And you realize it's a fish. So there's two different bites that come with that.
That's awesome.
I know. I love it. Rich, it's one of my favorite ways of doing it. Next to calico. Yeah, next to calicos and next to that kind of reaction bite, halibut for sure is one of my favorites. And you'll have to give us a call back, let us know how you do.
Great phone call, Rich. Appreciate the question very much.
Yeah. Should we try? All right. Hey, we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. We'll be taking more of your calls, more excitement and having fun here with Rick when we return on Southern California Sport Fishing Boys. It's the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to new anglers that came this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
For over 30 years, Sea Falcon has been manufacturing the finest handmade jigs and plugs, utilizing superior components and hand-painted finishes. Sea Falcon lures are made in Japan and are based on hand-carved originals, utilizing the highest level of quality and attention to detail. Gamakatsu's premium assist hooks are ideal to pair with Sea Falcon lures, providing you with one of the highest quality lure combinations on the market. You're shopping for premium jigs and plugs to chase the fish of a lifetime. Look no further than Sea Falcon.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
One of the dream trips for most anglers is Alaska. There are so many lodges. How do you make a choice? It's easy. Choose the one most Let's Talk Hookup listeners return to time after time. Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. No one's it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, and the finest charter captains in Sitka. All for the ultimate value. One visit and you will understand why nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. Sitka is famous for some of the best runs of salmon in Alaska. And if giant Alaskan halibut is your target, the expert captains at Kingfisher Charters know the hot spots and can put you on a fish of a lifetime. Plenty of rockfish and huge ling cod are there too. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. It's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except tips. It is truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality service they deliver year after year. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on the Daily Double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, New Loan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having such a fun time in studio today. You want to give us a shout? Phone lines are now open. One spot open. Your chance to win a full-day trip on the San Diego to Seaforth. The number, 213-432-1090.
This has been a great show already, man. I just love this kind of stuff. I love that the show goes in all kinds of different directions. We've talked swordfish and bluefin and halibut and spot. Bonefish, it's just a green bass, been a great day. And again, all the options now available, phone lines, text, everything. We'd love to hear from you. A great text came through from Mario in Pasadena. Good morning, guys. I don't ever hear much about San Martin Island anymore. How is that fishery? Does anybody target anymore? And what kind of things can somebody expect fishing San Martin?
Man, San Martin, great memories, man. That's just everything from halibut to good calico bass, yellowtail.
I can tell you for sure, my favorite is on a trip that I did with you on the Shogun calico bass skiff trip, and a day fishing with Captain Russ, formerly of the Shogun, skiffing at San Martin, and it was one of the best big fish weedless bites I have ever got to experience. And it was a hot water year. The kelp was not... the kelp just wasn't healthy. Yeah,
minimal.
It was minimal is a great word for it. And I hate to say it, but I mean that's just how kelp is. It was in its like dying off phase. You know, there was outside stringers that were really kind of loose and ratty.
Scraggly.
And not big thick, but man, there was some big fish in there, and it was just one of those things where it was a true 3-pound average. Like every fish you caught was a true 3-pounder, and it's just a really great fishery when the condition is right, we described, and it's on firing. What do you think about San Martin?
I think it's a great part of the coastline. I think the guys at Trailer Down and like Dwayne from the San Diego Anglers, mm-hmm. he's got a place, and a handful of them do. And I know Kelly runs trips out of there, and a lot of guys, you know, there's a few guys who do the trips out of there, and it's a great sea bass, great rockfish, great. I mean, they have fun any time of the year. Neighbor down the street I know goes. I think he's there right now. Been there for a week, you know, and they go and they fish. If there's not sea bass and calicos to fish, they fish 5-pound reds.
Yeah.
You know?
Lots of yellows on the high spots, surrounding the island and at the island itself. It's just you said it, it's a great coastal area to fish. You don't hear a lot from it because, it's a spot that doesn't get fished often by sport boats. It's just well fished from a local fleet. But for those that, like you said, Corey, Trailer Down or use some of the services down in the Baja, some great fishing to be had.
And actually kind of cool to go stay at the old mill and see part of the history and of what that actually was, you know?
And a cool stretch of the coast, too, where you're not, you know, it's not a huge travel down. You know, you leave in the morning, you're there in the afternoon. It's not too gnarly of a drive. It's easy to get to, but you're still making a real Baja trip. You know, it's not a butt kicker multi-day driving in the dark thing. You just get up early and you head down there and you're having lunch and tacos and you're already there. So
kind of cool.
A cool spot, Mario. And I hope you get down there and get to experience some great fishing. Phones are packed. Corey, why don't we jump into them?
Let's do it. How about Armand? Armand calling from Seal Beach. Thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Hookup this morning.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. So last week at Tackle Days, I won one of those Sea Falcon 300-gram squids. I was curious if either of you had fished with them and kind of like, you should fish one of them. I just never seen one before.
So I have not fished with the 300-grammer. However, I have fished local cods with a smaller version, and it was great. For those that haven't seen it, it is, man, if you could cross a flat fall style jig with a vinyl skirted squid looking lure, and I loved it. It's really good for me fishing local rockfish. I fish a lot of pretty small spots. And it was just a great lure that sinks really fast and gets into the zone. I think the action was fantastic, but I don't think that the action of a lure needs to be super special in the terms of cod fishing. You just need to get it down into that zone. It has to move around right, and I like it. So your jig, that 300-grammer, would probably be more at tune for that big fish fishing or maybe ling cod fishing deep water, something like that. So I have not fished one that big, Armand, but I can tell you that fishing the small one, I really liked it a lot for local rockfish fishing and very, very realistic, good-looking squid lure.
You guys carry them in the shop?
We carried them for Tackle Days as a special, and I don't see how we cannot carry them going forward. They were just really, really good-looking.
They had them in the booth outside.
Uh-huh. They were in the outside. They were on a buy-two-get-one-free special.
Wow.
But, yeah, really cool. And then Gamakatsu was giving away some of those Sea Falcon lures, which it sounded like Armand was lucky enough to win one of those. So anxious to see how you do with it, buddy.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. You got it, buddy. Let's jump back into the phones, Corey.
Yeah, let's do it. How about John? John called from Upland. Good morning, John, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
What's up, John?
Doing good.
Hey, I was curious, whatever happened to fish from his belly?
You know, I don't have an answer for you. I know that some great recipes that Yanni put together, and I'm not too sure. That'll probably be a better question when Pete rolls back through. But I think he's still up and running. But always fun.
Always fun when
Yanni was on there. Yeah, totally. Great dude. Great website. I don't know what the latest is, but I'm sure a quick search would probably answer your questions. And not too sure, John. But we'll try to. Try to find out and keep it rolling for you. All right, appreciate that very much. Hey, another good text that we had that came through, Corey. This one was from Alex in San Carlos, and he was just saying he's looking for advice on buying his first cow reel. I'm looking. What am I looking for in line capacity? What braid should I put on? I've got my eye on a TAC 25, an International 16, and a Valiant 800 and a Saltiga 60. All of that was from Alex in San Carlos. And Alex, what I could say in terms of that is you know you're certainly barking up the right tree. Those are all fantastic choices. In the tackle world right now, we've got so much good gear by so many great manufacturers. And it's not easy to try and put the difference between buying a this model truck or that model truck. And obviously, we are big fans of the Shimano family. That's the gear that I personally fish with. I use a TAC 20 and a TAC 25 a lot, but a lot of factors come into it. And the best thing I could say would be to go to your local tackle store. We, of course, would be more than happy to help you out at Fisherman's Landing, but there's tons of other great shops that would do the same. And a little bit of it comes down to whether whether you're talking about cow yellowfin on a long-range trip where fly lining and line capacity is probably going to be more important, or cow bluefin fishing with a flat ball where a reel that fits in your hand a little easier and has power might be more important. So I think that TAC 25 would be a fantastic choice in a reel that fits in your hand well and easy to fish a jig with. And if you were talking about fishing a salami down on, at the Hurricane Bank, a TAC 50 might be the right one. So with a little more info, I think we could ride it better. But I can tell you that of all of the reels you mentioned, you've got some great choices there. I think you need to put them all in your hand, turn the handle, see what feels most comfortable to you, and kind of make your choice that way based on the type of fishing that you plan on doing going forward.
And you say, you know, Shimano and being part of the Shimano family and stuff, Rick, but it's no BS. I mean, and outside of the show and outside of what anything I'm involved with, Tranks are my number one. I mean, I don't go with that because it's part of the show. Or
right.
Part of that is the reel that I'm using, and it's I purchased them.
Yeah, I see this.
Do you understand what I'm saying? If they're not given to me,
right.
I'm out purchasing this just like the listener is. And, yeah, I might get a deal on one here or there, but I'm out seeking that reel. Their service is number one.
Yeah.
You can't beat their gearing. You can't beat anything to do with them along with the service that comes along with it, period. We'll just end it right there.
Yeah,
there's no reason to look any other way.
I mean, this is a Shimano-sponsored show, but the second that we go off the air, I work in a tackle store that you know, we don't have any affiliation with anybody. We like all of the reels, and there are a lot of great options. But for my personal gear, what I use, it is the same. And for the same way, like, I don't get my stuff for free.
Yeah.
I buy it, and we have access to everything. And what I personally use are those Talikas for that big fish. They're so good.
I agree with you. So here's a text that goes along with, kind of along with the one you just had, Rick, and it's a great, good one. It's from Rex. Thank you for leaving your name. It says, good morning, guys. Great show as always. I've had a question regarding hook size and type. What would you recommend when fishing 250 to 300-pound bluefin? So bigger bluefin are around, but the bait size is relatively small, like a 4 or 5 inch sardine. I lost a big one this summer after an hour and a quarter when my number two heavy duty J hook I was using straightened and broke. I was told that circle hooks are less likely to straighten. Is this correct?
I don't know that you could say a circle hook is less likely to straighten based on the fact that it's a circle hook. One of the factors that could lead to that, though, is where the hook ends up. You know, a circle hook,
which I think is more key, right?
Yeah.
In this case,
For sure, a circle hook is vastly more likely to end up in the corner of a fish's mouth, which will then reduce the chance of it straightening or breaking. I think a lot of times when a J hook straightens or breaks, it it's because it wound up in a funky spot when you're pulling on the fish. I mean, you know, and a lot of times because those hooks are so sharp, if it goes in, you know, backwards or in the roof of the mouth, so that when you're pulling on the hook, you're pulling like over the top of it instead of pulling straight up from it. That's what oftentimes will allow that hook to break. And a circle hook is less likely to wind up in a funky place due to its design. So in that terms, you know, potentially you're right. But the wire that is being used is the same. So there's no more strength necessarily at a circle than a J, just that it might end up in the right spot. And as far as hook type, size and type, it's just not a black or white answer in that you always want to be using the largest hook you can to still get a bite
that you can get away with.
Yeah, and it varies based on how you're fishing. Lots of fish this year caught on the sinker rig, and sinker rig you can cheat and be fishing a larger hook. And when you're fly lining and bluefin are tough to get a bite with, man, you gotta go with what you can to get a bite. And for me, if the fish are indeed, I'm expecting my fish to be over 100 pounds. I don't like anything smaller than a 1.0. I would say 1.0 to 2.0 Gamakatsu Nautilus HD would be the hook that I'd still be comfortable with fishing a fish that's over 100 pounds and still have plenty of hook there. And if I really got a stealth one out, I'll fish a standard wire Gamakatsu Nautilus. But again, knowing that of that size fish, I'm on the rev limiter. I still fish it. I've caught plenty of fish over 100 pounds with that standard wire Nautilus HD. But yeah, that's not a heavy gauge hook. The reason they made HD was for fish over 100 pounds. And sometimes you just gotta, you know, you gotta keep your foot on the rev limiter. But you know that maybe that's the reason you got a bite because your bait was swimming
that's
so well.
That's crazy, Rick. So that's a good one from Rex. Can we go with another text?
Yeah, sure.
Because hey, I got another one right in line right here, Rick. And you mentioned sinker rigs, right? So Mike from Ramona asks, I've heard of two different ways to attach the sinker when bluefin fishing, sinker rig fishing. Some crews say only one connection, you know, to the line, and some like it in line, doubled up. So what would you suggest?
Yeah, great question. In terms of getting a bite, in my opinion, no difference. There's no difference between attaching it from one end and letting it dangle, or both ends and keeping it in line. I don't think that the bite is going to make a bit of difference, but I would suggest on keeping it in line and not one side letting it dangle, and it's just because you're fishing with 30 other guys and that dangling line is just way more, or dangling method, whatever you call it, is just it's more tangle prone. Like, you're going to gather up more lines from having that thing dangling down.
You're kind of opening yourself up for other things to happen, like you're saying.
Totally, yeah. And, yeah, more can go wrong if it's from one end instead of both.
But if something did go wrong and somebody's line, or you had a fish and it was rubbing up on somebody else's, both those rubber bands would cut away immediately,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, it wouldn't affect anything in a negative
point.
Way.
Yeah,
right?
Totally. Yeah, I don't think that in terms of you getting a bite, it's going to make any difference.
Right.
The sinker is just a method of getting that bait down there. But I like to do it in line just because I think you'll fish along with the other 25 guys that much better.
Yeah, I like it, Rick. It's a good one. And
right.
Appreciate the text, Mike and Ramona. Let's go to the phone calls. How about Bruce? Bruce calling from Lemon Grove. Good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup this morning, Bruce.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call. These are the best shows you guys do by far. I really, really enjoy them.
Oh,
I've been listening
since
you started.
Bruce.
You know that, Ricky. Yeah, man, this is really cool. Hey, when's Dwayne coming on? I mean, you got me all fired up for Bay Bass Tournament listening this morning. So what do you think about that coming up?
Right, it'll be interesting to see if that happens. I'm sure Dwayne is listening. He's an avid listener, listens all the time, and I'm sure he'll let us know.
Yeah, I got to see Dwayne and Mike Cazelli both having breakfast at the Cafe 67 a while ago. So I don't have an answer for you either, but I can assure you that's definitely something that we can find out, Bruce. And if we don't hear from we're kind of up against the ropes here on the show this morning, but if we don't find out today, I'll make sure that we get it mentioned soon. When the next one is, when it'll be, what we can expect, all the good stuff from the San Diego anglers there. Bruce, appreciate the phone call very much. Not a ton of time. Let's try to sneak in one last from Sean in Lomita. Sean, you got a quick question for us?
Morning, Sean.
Yeah, I just wanted to shout out to Pete. I had both of my hips replaced, and the second one was a little easier than the first. I hope the same goes to you, Pete. And about the Tranks reel, the follow-up from last week's call, you know, I'm getting a couple Tranks reels, one for my son and one for me. Should I get the 300 or 400 if I want to use a top shot of, like, you know, something to practice with, like a 50 or 100-yard top shot? Which would you recommend for three-quarter and a half day?
Well, it's funny because Rick always beefs it up higher than I do. So I'm going to tell you.
I know Corey's answer, and I know mine.
Exactly. It's kind of funny. And I'm going to say a 300. 300 for me is probably most universal, most all-purpose, all, you know, terrain kind of. And I know what Rick's going to say.
Yeah, and I think the four. The reason I like a four for the scenario you're describing is three-quarter day can just be so many things. And it could be fly lining a bait to try and catch a calico bass, which a 400 is not too big for. 300 better, but the 400 not too big for. But you also might be dropper looping rockfish. You might be catching a yellowtail. And I just think that at three-quarter day, I like the versatility that the 400 gives you. You're not going to make a mistake with either of those two reels.
There's no wrong way.
A Tranks 300 is for sure capable of landing every fish that you hook on a three-quarter day short of, you know, of a giant bluefin. So whatever you decide, I think you're in good shape with Sean. The other advantage is that 300, especially for your son, is going to fit in his hands better. So couple of things to think about there, but I think they're both a good call. You just got to go down to the shop, put them both in your hands, put them both in your son's hands, and kind of decide from there.
I like it. That's a great answer, Rick. Hey, we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to find out who's won a full-day trip out of C4 Sport Fishing on the San Diego when we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090.
If you're looking for a high-quality cocktail that's also easy to enjoy on your next fishing trip, check out Cutwater Spirits' lineup of canned cocktails. Cutwater's master distiller and co-founder, Yusuf Cherney, is a hardcore fisherman. In fact, he developed Cutwater with all his favorite adventures in mind. Yusuf takes Cutwater's award-winning spirits, uses them to make real cocktails, and then puts them into cans so you can take them anywhere. It's like they were made for fishing because they were actually made for fishing. Check out their popular canned margarita made with real tequila, the zesty vodka mule, or the spicy Bloody Mary, which has some serious bite. They also make super refreshing vodkas in grapefruit, lime, and cucumber flavors. Just crack the can and enjoy a bar-quality cocktail even when there's no bar in sight. Back at the dock or at your evening anchorage in Catalina, Cutwater cocktails are exactly what you need for your next fishing trip. You can check out all 18 of Cutwater's canned cocktails at cutwaterspirits.com and then look for them at your local liquor store. Then go ahead and set your cocktail free. Please enjoy responsibly.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Hey, this is Rosie from Cedros Sport Fishing. Cedros Island is considered the yellowtail and calico bass fishing capital in the world, and nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. We are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. We have made good thing even better. We are the only lodge to offer all of our guests a direct flight departing through the CBX in San Diego. Leave home in the morning and fish in the afternoon. We have a beautiful waterfront lodge and first-class meals and service. What are you waiting for? Call me at 619-772-7570 or check out CedrosSportFishing.com. Book soon. Trips are going fast.
Season long-range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Andy Gates and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3, and you'll be back. Trips go fast. So check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224-3857.
All right. Hey, Rick almost got it.
Yeah, I almost did it again.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090. And we had such a great time. And our phones were down for the first hour. And so we put all the texters and callers together and did it that way. And, hey, we came up with a texter this time.
Yeah, that's cool.
Right? Mario from Pasadena. We appreciate you texting the show and you left your name and number, and so we were able to utilize you as a winner today, and you get the trip on the San Diego at a C4 Sport Fish. I hope you have fun with Matt or Boog. And
so cool.
Yeah, I know it, man. It's crazy. I'm looking forward to this beautiful weather we have in front of us, Rick. You know, I mean, the last month, October, was just crap. One of the crappiest Octobers wind-wise, right?
It was. Yeah, and it's going to be nice to have a nice stretch in front of us and some good fishing to look forward to. And, man, Corey, great show. So much fun. This is my favorite, just getting to be honest with you. I love talking fishing. You're my favorite person I like talking fishing with. And just a great time, man. This is a lot of fun.
Hey, from El Salto to Bay Bass to Kelp to Cedros to San Martin and to big bluefin fishing and swordfish.
You got it, man.
We talked about it all. It's all good time.
And we're going to be talking to you tomorrow. Tomorrow, another great show with the cast man, Richard Castaneda from Cast Tour. Going to be Corey and I again having fun with you again. Pete doing a great job. Get well soon, buddy. I know you're standing by, and we appreciate you listening. And a great job to Christian for keeping us on the air on a challenging morning. Great times here on Let's Talk Hookup. We'll look forward to talking to you tomorrow morning right here on the Mightier 1090 and the Let's Talk Hookup app.